Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 52 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Kenzie Thompson.
We're looking at $175,000 to $200,000 a year for that building.
A new plan for Moorhead State University's Laughlin Health Building is slated to kick off in May.
Residents of Knapp Avenue are concerned about a private logging job.
A Rowan County organization is preparing to host a human trafficking awareness training.
A bridge in Fleming County is closed for reconstruction.
A circuit judge will appear for a pretrial conference on felony charges in Bath County on Thursday.
In sports, MSU's baseball and softball teams are in action this afternoon.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
And mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 37 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A plan to lease Moorhead State University's Laughlin Health Building for community recreation comes to fruition this May. The cost will be split between the City of Moorhead and Rowan County. Moorhead City Councilman Glenn Teeger says the project's start date is set for May 1st.
We would start at that time paying the electric bill, basically, is what it works out to. We have a small, very small annual lease payment due to MSU, and then we're basically paying for the utilities. And so that's what we're referring to as May 1st, is that we would take over the payment of utilities and start the rent process of that facility. And then we would start, hopefully, to have immediate programming in that building.
Teeger says MSU is charging $25,000 for rent, but the majority of the cost will be utilities. He estimates they will amount to approximately $130,000 to $140,000. However, Teeger says it should be possible to lower that number. All told, the project will cost $175,000 to $200,000 a year.
The City of Moorhead was unable to cease a logging operation in the Sherwood Forest neighborhood last year, but that situation may have changed. A local ordinance prohibits logging within the city, but a state statute prevented any action to stop the operation. During last night's city council meeting, a lawyer representing certain residents of Sherwood Forest presented a report which claims the logging operation has violated the state statute. Councilman Glenn Teeger says that may allow the city to enforce its ordinance.
So we have asked our city attorney and our city planner to look. Council did not have to take action simply because we already have those ordinances in place. So it's really a determination of our code enforcement officer and our city attorney to determine if that indeed is the case, and then we can move forward in enforcing our own local ordinance.
Residents of Sherwood Forest say the logging operation has been disruptive.
The Rowan County Safe Place is hosting human trafficking awareness training at the Rowan County Library next week. Officials say recent reports are showing human trafficking activity across the state and even locally. Sarah Lowe is the program manager for the event. She says the training will help people see the signs of human trafficking so they can stop it before it happens.
The training will be a two-hour presentation with Ms. Taylor going over. She is from the Kentucky Human Task Force for Human Trafficking. So this is all of the data that they have collected, the information that they've received from other organizations. So it's a very detailed, thorough investigation into what fuels human trafficking in the first place, but also how we can prevent it.
The event takes place March 18th. To register, you can contact Lowe at 784-3337.
Community Hospice in Ashland is seeking new volunteers and will be hosting volunteer orientation training next week for those interested. The two-day session will be on March 20th and 21st at the Community Hospice office on Carter Avenue. Andrea Arnett is the Director of Volunteers for Community Hospice. She says right now there is a particular need for those interested in providing short in-home caregiver breaks.
Anything from volunteering with patients in nursing facilities to sitting with patients in the home and offering respite, which basically is an opportunity for the caregiver to go out and run errands, get a haircut, grab lunch with a friend, pay bills, and we'll have a volunteer that will sit with the patient at home for about 2 or 3 hours so the caregiver can get a little break.
Other volunteer opportunities include emotional support and companionship visitation, nursing home visits, and care center opportunities. Anyone interested in the training can call 1-800-926-6184.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet has closed down the Kentucky 111 Bridge in Fleming County for reconstruction. The bridge will be closed for 45 days while workers put in new improvements, including concrete beams and a new driving surface. Spokesperson Alan Blair says while frustrating, the long wait time is necessary.
They'll spend some time deconstructing the top of the bridge carefully so that we don't cause any issues to the substructure. Then they will replace the beams one at a time. Then once the beam replacement is finished, they'll be able to reconstruct the top part of the bridge, which is the driving surface. And once that's complete, it could be less than 45 days, but the contractors have up to 45 days to complete that work and get the bridge back open to traffic.
While closed, Kentucky 158 and Kentucky 32 through Rowan and Fleming counties will be the official detour route until the bridge is complete.
After Governor Matt Bevin released a video where he criticized recent sick outs, teachers across the Commonwealth have traveled to the Capitol to protest. According to WKYT, Jefferson County schools canceled classes 3 hours after Bevin posted the video due to a large number of teachers calling in sick. In the video, Bevin claims the protests take away from the students' education.
This is about the students, and it should be about the students, not about what's in the best interest of the KEA or any of these other groups that want to attract attention and resources and power to themselves. This is about the teachers themselves and their ability to do the job of educating kids.
The KEA has stated that they have not encouraged sick outs during the legislative session. Bevin goes on to say the protests are offensive and claims to be sick of sick outs.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
A suspended circuit court judge will face felony charges in Bath Circuit Court on Thursday. Judge Beth Mays presided over circuit court in Bath, Rowan, Menifee, and Montgomery counties until October of 2018 when she was placed on paid administrative leave. In addition to six counts of official misconduct being investigated by the Judicial Conduct Committee, Mays also faces two felony counts of forgery and one count of tampering with public records in connection to a drug case involving her ex-husband, a former Bath County attorney, Donald Champ Mays. She pleaded not guilty to the criminal charges in December. She will appear for a pretrial conference on Thursday at 10 a.m.
A Montgomery County pastor has been sentenced to 6 months of house arrest after defrauding the federal government of over $100,000. The Mount Sterling Advocate, Robbie Kahn, must also pay restitution of over $111,000 in Social Security benefits. That's in addition to over $26,000 he must also repay for medical services he collected through Medicaid. Prosecutors say Kahn said he was unable to work following a heart transplant, then continued to preach at the Jeffersonville Assembly of God, where he continues to preach still. Kahn collected benefits in that time, while his wife collected his pay from the church. Kahn must serve a term of 3 years supervised release, in which he is prohibited from committing any further local, state, or federal crimes or possessing firearms.
Two people were injured in a Lexington bar shooting on Monday afternoon. Shortly after Lexington police arrived on the scene, suspect Larry Walters was apprehended. Sergeant Scott May with the Lexington police tells WKYT they wanted to end the incident as quickly as possible.
At that time, we don't know what his mental state was, so we don't know who else, if anybody, would be in danger. Hopefully, he didn't have any other plans to injure anybody, but by making this quick apprehension, we ended any possibility of any further violence.
The owner of the bar says the establishment will operate as normal this afternoon.
A Lexington man is behind bars after a human trafficking investigation. WKYT reports 37-year-old Andre Hilliard is charged with promoting prostitution and possessing drug paraphernalia. His arrest comes after a joint investigation by Lexington police and the Kentucky Attorney General's office. A victim in the case has been referred to social services. Police ask those who believe they have encountered a victim of human trafficking to call 911.
A Winchester man has been indicted by a federal grand jury. The Winchester Sun reports Mickey Ferreira-Brochet was arrested in February. He's accused of obtaining the information of over 14,000 individuals with HIV through a Singapore Ministry of Health database, then sending two threatening emails from Kentucky to Singapore officials attempting extortion. If convicted, he could be sentenced to a maximum of 2 years in prison for each email and up to 5 years for possession of the personal information. He was living in Singapore from 2008 to 2016 with his now husband, Dr. Lair Tin Sang. Sang was the head of the ministry's National Public Health Unit. He faces charges there for mishandling information.
The family of a Laurel County mother is now searching for her after not being seen for over a week. 40-year-old Chastity White was last seen on March 3rd. She contacted the family once through email since then, but the family doesn't know where she was at the time and says this behavior is very uncharacteristic of her. White's ex-husband, Greg White, tells WKYT the family is desperate for answers.
Not having any idea whatsoever where she's at or what's happened, or I mean, the biggest thing is the unknown. You know, we have no answers.
Anyone with information on White's whereabouts is asked to contact the Laurel County Sheriff's Department.
A convicted child rapist from Covington is facing a much longer prison sentence after being found guilty of additional crimes. The Kenton County Commonwealth Attorney's Office tells WKYT 31-year-old Matthew Boucher of Fort Mitchell was found guilty of 62 counts, including 30 counts of promoting a sexual performance by a minor, 30 counts of possession of a matter portraying a sexual performance of a minor, and third-degree rape and third-degree sodomy. Boucher, who was already serving a 45-year prison sentence, was convicted in the case involving a 15-year-old. Prosecutors say he posed as a 19-year-old when he was 27 and would engage with a child in an apartment he shared with his mother. He would eventually reveal his true age after the girl turned 16. A jury recommended a 15-year sentence, which would run consecutively with his 45-year sentence. Boucher still has two more cases where he was indicted, and more indictments are possible if more victims come forward. Detectives are trying to identify potential victims on electronic devices.
Taking a look at the extended weather forecast, tonight, mostly cloudy skies with a low around 37 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 66. Tomorrow night, a 30% chance of showers, mainly after 2 a.m., increasing clouds with a low around 54. Thursday, showers likely, mainly between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m., with cloudy skies and a high near 72. On Thursday night, showers and thunderstorms before 2 a.m., with a low around 48 degrees. Looking at the temperatures for the surrounding area, in Ashland, 53 degrees, Inez, 53 degrees, in Winchester, it's 51, Lexington, 51, Flemingsburg, 50, and right here in Moorhead, 52 degrees.
On our feature segment today, a local quilt show begins this weekend. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has the story.
Projects created by regional quilters will be on display at the Round County Regional Quilt Show on Saturday, March 16th. The show runs from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. and features vendors, live music, and guest speakers. Evelyn Morgan has been involved in planning this event since 1992.
The quilt show began in the 1980s, and it was started to just honor quilting. There's a holiday for quilters in March. It's always the third Saturday in March. It's called Quilters Day Out. And the quilt show was started in honor of that.
Morgan says the free event has a lot to offer the public.
There'll be a show and tell that I'll be hosting, and I really would encourage people to bring their projects or quilts that they don't want to put in the show, but they just want to tell people about them. That would be just really great to have people do that. There's all kinds of vendors that's there, quilting vendors, and it's just a great day for quilters to get out and share their talents.
This year, Morgan says the organizers at the quilt show are very excited to offer something that they've never had before.
A designer for a well-known fabric company, Timeless Treasures, her name is Toni Steer, and she has a company called Wing and a Prayer. She designs fabrics and patterns, and is just tremendously kind lady, and she's going to be there doing two different sessions, one on how to design fabric from the start to the beginning of the process, and then she'll be doing another one on how to work with panels.
Morgan says the show doesn't just have guest speakers and vendors. There are categories of quilts for a bit of friendly competition.
We have a category for hand quilting. We have a category for machine quilting. We have a category for machine computerized, because today a lot of the long arms have computers on them, and that's a category to itself. We have a youth category. We have a wearable. We have added this year new, a patriotic. And we have an antique quilt category, as well as a baby quilt.
However, Morgan says the show isn't about the contests.
It is purely an appreciation for quilt. We do have a viewer's choice. People get to vote on the one that they like the best, people that come in and view the quilt. But there's all kinds of things going on that day.
Morgan says it's very easy to enter a quilt into one of the categories.
Just bring your quilts to the Morehead Conference Center, and we have a form that you fill out with your name and everything on it, and tell us a little story about the quilt, and it's that simple. There's no charge involved.
However, Morgan says to make sure you bring your quilt on time.
People that want to bring their quilts in for display will need to have them there Friday between 12 and 5. We'll check the quilts in. That gives us the opportunity to get them hung up and displayed.
Above all, Morgan says the Round County Regional Quilt Show is important for the community.
It's a great way to bring the community together to share their talents of quilting. And, you know, we're really trying hard to get people more involved in the quilting experience. And this is just a great day because, you know, most other quilt shows have charge a fee to go to them. This one's free. And with these, you know, nationally known designer, it's just a great deal for quilters.
For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
It's 4:48 and 52 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Kenzie Thompson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday afternoon. Naya Endweza has sports after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Bypass Pond, 897 Flemingsburg Road in Morehead. Bypass Pond buys, sells, trades, and loans almost anything of value. Cash for gold, silver, jewelry, and diamonds. Tools, video games, televisions, computers, hunting supplies, music gear, and guitars. Bypass Pond is open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday, noon to 5 on Sundays. 897 Flemingsburg Road in Morehead. Phone number is 780-7296. Facebook and online, bypasspond.com.
MSU's baseball and softball teams are in action this afternoon. For WMKY Sports, I'm Naya Endweza. The Rowan County baseball team doesn't officially start the 2019 season until next week, but they host East Carter tonight for a preseason scrimmage. The Vikings and the Raiders only met once during the 2018 season, with Rowan coming out on top 9-3. Rowan head coach Scott Collins says the spring weather has been an issue for preseason play.
Based on field condition, mostly, you know, and it depends on the temperature. I mean, if it's real, real cold, you know, like today, you know, I don't think we're going to be able to go. But, you know, the problem here is it just stays muddy so long, and we don't get enough days, you know, sunshine and wind to dry the field out. So, you know, we're just kind of at the mercy of Mother Nature this time of year.
first pitch tonight is scheduled for 5:30 p.m. at Don G. Harden Field at Morehead City Park. We'll have a closer look at the Vikings on our feature segment on Thursday during Mountain Edition. The Morehead State University baseball and softball teams are back in action today. WMKY's Wyatt Melton reports.
Morehead State baseball opens another busy week by hosting West Virginia today and tomorrow. Game one of the two-game stint is currently underway, with the first tomorrow set for 3 o'clock. This is the first time the Eagles have hosted a Power 5 conference team since 2011. The Mountaineers boast one of the better pitching staffs in the nation with a 2.85 ERA, but have struggled a bit at the plate, hitting just .210 as a unit. The MSU softball team is currently in Louisville for a doubleheader with the Cardinals. Game one is currently underway, with the nightcap set for 6 o'clock. The Eagles have had 15 days off due to inclement weather since playing their last game on February 25th. They'll be looking for a first win of the season against the Louisville team, who enters the game at 15-7. For WMKY Sports, I'm Wyatt Melton.
The Eagle Beach volleyball team is focusing on improving this week. Morehead State opened their third season with 4 wins on the road. Head coach Jamie Gordon says he can see the improvements his young team is making.
I think that our players and athletes have been really putting a lot of effort and time into playing the sport correctly and to really work on their technical game, and it's starting to show out on the court.
The Eagles will continue to make gains in practice. Their next matchup isn't until March 19th with South Carolina. With the Morehead State men's basketball season wrapped up, its head coach is reflecting on the year. The Eagles finished at 8-10 in conference play and 13-20 overall, wrapping up play with a loss to Austin Peay in round 2 of the OVC tournament. Head coach Preston Spradlin says the program has made major improvements since last season, and they're on the right track for next year.
So this is year 2 of our program, and last year we were left out of the tournament. We finished 12th out of 12 teams. This year we had sole possession of 5th, making the tournament here, winning a tournament game, and then having the opportunity to play a really good Austin Peay team and show great fight despite poor shooting in the first half of that game. And that's exactly what we needed to see from our group, especially having a bunch of young guys who are returning for next year. So a lot of positive momentum going into next year.
The Eagles will now say goodbye to senior forward Lamontre Harris and guard A.J. Hicks. A Boyd County player received the state's most prestigious basketball honor. Savannah Wheeler was named Miss Kentucky Basketball in an awards ceremony last week. Wheeler became the second 16th region player, joining Wes Carter's Megan Gearhart, who won in 2003, to collect the hardware since the honor's 1976 inception. The third-ranked Boyd County Lady Lions will represent the 16th region in the Sweet 16 next Thursday, March 14th, when they face Mail at 1:30 p.m. in Rupp Arena. It's the third consecutive year that Boyd County won the region, but it's the first time Wheeler and her teammates will grace the University of Kentucky's hardwood. A Marshall signee, Wheeler has amassed 3,593 career points, including 919 as a senior. She ranks 6th on the KHSAA's all-time scoring list. And finally, in sports this afternoon, Kentucky quarterback Terry Wilson received the Howard Schellenberger Award last Thursday night as part of the Paul Hornung Award dinner at the Galt House Hotel in Louisville. The award is given to Most Valuable Player of the annual Governor's Cup football game between Kentucky and Louisville. Wilson led UK to a 56-10 win on November 24th in Cardinal Stadium, giving the Wildcats a 9-3 regular season record and setting the stage for UK's triumphant trip to the VRBO Citrus Bowl. In that game, Wilson accounted for 340 yards of total offense and 4 touchdowns. He finished 17 of 23 for 261 yards and career-high 3 touchdown passes. He also had 79 rushing yards and a touchdown on the ground. The Schellenberger Award is named for Howard Schellenberger, an All-American end at the University of Kentucky in the 1950s, who later had a successful career as head coach of the University of Louisville. For WMKY, I'm Naya Indweza.
A quick update on those MSU games happening right now. Louisville is up 3-0 over the Eagles softball team. It's currently the top of the fourth. Taking a look at Eagle baseball, West Virginia is up 6-2 in the top of the sixth. We'll have final scores on both those games tomorrow during Morning Edition.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Eagle softball will host the Morehead State Classic this weekend, featuring games with Bowling Green and St. Bonaventure. Tickets available from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your financial markets report for WMKY. At 3:45, the Dow Industrials fell as shares of Boeing continued to struggle, and Boeing is having a huge effect on the Dow, as of right now having about a 150-point impact, and the blue-chip average is down 74.23 on the day at 25,576.65 here at 3:45 p.m. The S&P 500 is up 10.99 at 2794.29, and the NASDAQ Composite is strong today with a gain of 39.83 at 7597.89. And Boeing shares are down more than 6%, which eclipses yesterday's loss. And, of course, the stock fell yesterday initially after several countries grounded all flights involving the 737 MAX model. And today the United Kingdom, China, and Indonesia grounded all such planes as well. And this particular plane has been involved in two deadly crashes in less than 6 months, including one on Sunday. The broader market, of course, has traded higher after the release of key inflation data, which showed that inflation was continuing to be at a tame pace as the U.S. Consumer Price Index rose only 0.2% in February, and this matched expectations. The so-called core CPI, which strips out food and energy, actually fell short of estimates by gaining just 0.1%. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.25% at $56.93 a barrel. Gold was up 0.8% at $1,301.30 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers are United Health Group and American Express, while the worst performers are Boeing and United Technologies. In the S&P 500, the best performers are Whirlpool and Devon Energy, and the worst performers are F5 Networks and Boeing. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank down 19 cents at 41 and a quarter, Dollar General up 3 cents at 119.74, Marathon Petroleum down 26 cents at 58.94, AK Steel up 8 cents at 283, Delta Airlines down 42 cents at 50.70, and Valvoline was down 36 cents at 18.36. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with 6 lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per-game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, the annual Burley Cole Art Exhibition and Competition is on display at the Golden Yang Art Gallery inside the Claypool Young Art Building at Morehead State University. The exhibit is on display through tomorrow afternoon at 4:30 p.m. It's free and open to the public.
The Kentucky Arts Council presents Kentucky Craft at the Market March 16th and 17th at the Kentucky Horse Park Altech Arena in Georgetown. Hours are from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday. Arts and crafts, music, books, specialty foods, and more. Admission is $8 per person, and tickets are available at the door.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Jacob Lindberg, Cassidy Stearman, Chaz Jenkins, Logan Pemberton, Wyatt Melton, Naya Andweza, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Nacogdoches Miller, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Keneally Roberts. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Kenzie Thompson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.